Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the virtual CISO moment. Bruno Alberto, excuse me, joins us today. He is VCISO for Alberto Kinney Consulting LLC. Bruno, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
I told you that I would stumble over the simplest of names. I do, and I don't know why. I think it's like
I know, and you practice beforehand.
I talk myself into it, I think, sometimes, but that's just the way it is. I'm not a professional podcaster. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. That's all. Anyway, great to have you. Would love to hear your story about how and why you got started in IT and InfoSec and cybersecurity, and your entire journey and what led you to founding a firm that provides virtual CISO services.
Yeah, no problem. So my career started when I joined the Navy, and I signed up to be a submariner. So I was a system administrator for weapon systems, specifically torpedoes and missiles. So while I was in the Navy, I earned my associate's degree between deployments, going to school online. And after 5 years in the Navy, I began working for Northrop Grumman, testing satellites before they got launched into space. And while I was with Northrop Grumman, I earned my bachelor's in organizational leadership and my master's in project management. So then once I completed my master's degree, I was interested in being in a more client-facing role. So I was applying to different management consulting firms, and Booz Allen Hamilton happened to be.
See, you did it too. I'm just saying the name. You did it too. Okay, go ahead.
With Booz Allen Hamilton, they interviewed me for several project management positions, but they also interviewed me for a cybersecurity consultant position. And that's the one I got the offer for. So I jumped in from there, I think with my project management experience and risk management experience from school and at Northrop Grumman. It just led me into the GRC side of cybersecurity. And for the last few years with Booz Allen Hamilton, I've been doing risk management and ISM work for Air Force and Space Force clients. And so about 4 months ago, my business partner and I, who served in the Navy together, decided to start our virtual CISO consulting practice. And so we've been doing that for the last 3 months.
Awesome. Well, you know, you mentioned something about, I think that is very important about your master's, you said, is in project management, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And I pinged on that because my master's is in information systems project management as well. And then you said something along the lines of your project management background really got you into risk management, which is something that I often say too, because you do learn a lot about risk management, not InfoSec risk management necessarily, but about project risk management. And would you say that a lot of that transfers over to the InfoSec side?
Definitely. So knowing, you know, qualitative from quantitative risk management and where to best apply those practices definitely helps to, I guess it translates to cyber as well as to projects and business.
So, all right, I'm gonna reach into your history a little bit there, and because I think sometimes some folks don't know what the difference is between qualitative and quantitative. How would you describe that to folks, the difference?
So qualitative would be determining risk based on information, but more of a qualitative information, and determining the risk based on like a low level of risk, moderate level of risk, or high level of risk, and determining those thresholds beforehand with your client or for your business. Whereas quantitative risk management would be determining the asset value and determining the risks and the threats to that asset, and then coming up with the quantitative risk to that asset.
Right. And I think in the quantitative land, at least with FAIR, they would call that like cost exposure. But the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because a lot of times people get confused. It's like, well, when we do low, medium, and high, We sometimes say 1, 2, and 3, and we multiply the likelihood times the impact. So you have a likelihood that's high, that's a 3, and an impact that's low, that's a 1. So the inherent risk is a 3. Is those are numbers, right?
Right.
but they're not real numbers. That's the problem, I think. It's like, because I always come back to folks and say, all right, 3 what? So I mean, you're not, it's not really, even though you're doing kind of fake math, you're not really multiplying everything. And I've seen risk assessments where people have had these multitudes of numbers and this and that, and each one of them is just only a subjective representation of somebody, an SME's opinion, basically, when all is said and done. So sorry for going down that rabbit hole, but I love talking about risk management whenever I get a chance. But speaking about risks in small and mid-sized businesses, you know, today we're in the beginning of 2024. We're already a month in. We're certainly seeing potential risks from China, but we always see a lot of like geopolitical risks. Certainly new technologies such as AI are out there. But for small and mid-sized businesses, based on what you see and your experience and your opinion, what do you think are like one or a couple of the most significant threats to SMBs today?
So I think a significant cyber threat that SMBs face today is insider threats, and not necessarily malicious insiders, but employees and people just being the weakest point of the attack surface. For example, like employees continue to compromise their credentials by clicking on malicious email links or attachments. And that's still prevalent today. And I think will continue to be very prevalent as artificial intelligence increases and, you know, emails look more sophisticated from malicious actors.
So how do you feel that AI specifically impacts like these phishing type of emails? Is it in the construction? Is it in determining how and when to send? Is it in the actual content? How is AI going to make this even worse for us out there today?
I would say in the construction, because they're just going to, you know, look more legitimate. And also in the content, the content's going to look more legitimate. It's not going to be the, you know, South African prince that needs your money to, so you need to click here with all these misspelled characters. And
that's
whatnot.
Not real. That's not, oops. Well, that's an interesting line of thought because, okay, let's just say that you have a criminal that builds their own LLM, right? And they have somehow or another injected themselves into the business email of a CEO of a company. And they're not doing anything with it yet, but what they're doing is that they're collecting emails and they're feeding those emails, particularly the originating and responses from the CEO. They're collecting them and they're putting them in their LLM. And then they tell the LLM to say, I want you to create an email from CEO Jane Smith saying that I need to have X and X done. Please do it for me. At that point in time, wouldn't you think that it would that AI would actually create a completely 100% legitimate looking email?
Yeah, definitely.
How do you counter against that? I mean, what could a small business do, again, from your opinion, to be able to recognize that sort of stuff? Because that seems pretty nasty.
Yeah, so I think along with the attack side of things, the defense side of things will also improve with the advent of artificial intelligence. So I believe that email filters will be able to catch those sort of those attacks, and basically their algorithms will improve to be able to detect the malicious CEO email.
So AI sort of like fighting AI, I guess, then is what it's going
right.
to look like. And we're just kind of there in the sidelines, just eating the popcorn, something along those lines. Well, I mean, certainly I know that anything that has to do with facilitating any sort of theft, business email compromise is the one that always comes to mind, that usually starts again with some sort of phishing email. I don't see that stopping because, you know, we say in cybersecurity, information security, that the person is the weakest link. And it's kind of like an old overused saying, but there's a lot of truth behind it because, you know, you get caught like on a day that you're thinking about something too much, or you're distracted, or you're just having a bad day. You just kind of click through. How would you advise your clients to help defend their, or lower, since we're talking risk management too, lower their risk of this happening, whether it be through controls or awareness or a combination thereof? I mean, obviously we don't have a couple of things here, and I know I'm making this a really long question, but we don't have the AI tools to do that recognition today that it's and plus SMBs, they can't go out and buy a new tool every time that there's a new threat. So what would you recommend to your clients as far as the direction goes to help counter this today?
I would definitely recommend security awareness training and get employees to recognize the signs of malicious emails or any sort of cyber attack, and just really good cybersecurity hygiene, you know, locking your computer after you're done using it, and, you know, logging out of your accounts after you're done using them, and implementing multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication to increase the layers of defense.
Oh, now I'm going to ask you a question that I saw on LinkedIn about a week ago. Is it worth it to go to three-factor authentication at this point in time?
I think for businesses, it's a balance of efficiency and convenience and security. So it's up to them to determine whether it's the you know, going with that control is worth their, I guess, reduced efficiency or inconvenience.
Yeah, because it's certainly going to increase a lot of friction. And I think that in the SMB space today, I don't know how much you see about this, but I still see sometimes trying to get folks to do just multi-factor authentication. I mean, let's move away from SMS and do more of the one-time token or those sorts of things. So you and your partner from the Navy, who I'm assuming last name is Kinney,
yes,
formed the consulting firm Roberto Kinney Consulting to provide virtual CISO services, I'm assuming, to like small and mid-sized businesses.
That's correct.
What led you guys to, you talked about it just briefly in the beginning, but what led you guys to do this?
Yeah, so on LinkedIn, you're able to select that you are, you know, providing services. So I selected that on my LinkedIn profile that I provide cybersecurity services. Mm-hmm. And I had someone reach out to me and ask if I provided those services. And I was like, yes, you know, I wanted to, you know, get some sort of business, but I didn't have any of the business infrastructure built up to offer them, you know, something significant. So then I talked to my business partner, James Kinney, and we're like, okay, we're doing this now. So we, you know, started to build up our operations as far as what engagements are going to look like, and, you know, purchased our website and built that up, and, you know, all the normal things that businesses go through.
Well, starting a small business is not trivial. So first of all, I congratulate you for doing that. It, when I went into it about 7 years ago, I went into it not knowing anything about what I was doing. Certainly, there were some surprises along the way. I would have to say that a couple that come to mind, first of all, is that taxes is not fun. You have a lot more because, for example, you're paying your own employment tax, and sometimes people don't realize that. It's just like, oh, okay, now I see how much the employer actually paid for me when I was a W-2. But another thing is marketing. And I know marketing, I like to joke that marketing is a four-letter word. And the you know, of course, the reason behind that is that marketing is very tough. What are some of the challenges that you found so far in the first four or so months that you guys have been in operation?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I would have to say really developing the target market that we want to work with, and bringing our values into our business, and not just having it be black and white and so dry, but, you know, really developing relationships with customers and clients and our community so that we can serve them better and know what they need. And yeah.
Well, I think, excuse me, the term relationships, that's one of the things in information security that is so important. If you're like an MSP or an MSSP, a lot of the times, yes, you have to leverage relationships, but you're really selling, when all is said and done, a product. You're selling like a SIM or a firewall or antivirus, all things that are very necessary to the environment. But when you're purely consulting and you're sitting in that second line risk management space, you're selling your skills and your experience and your approach. These are intangible items. And so I would echo that a relationship is building is so important, because at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, any potential client has to trust you, because they're going to pay you a lot of money. They're not getting an actual like box or anything like that, but they're getting your experience. Does that sound daunting to you?
No, I think we have, 20 plus years of combined experience among us, me and James. And I feel like we spend a lot of time in the publications that, learning how to be better and learning how to go through the process of security assessments and developing client relations.
What is your target client that is sort of like, what you're focusing on?
So our target market is business owners with 10 to 50 employees right now. Mm-hmm. Not a specific vertical, but in the Sacramento area.
So you're in the Sacramento area. So you provide services on site as well as virtual, or?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I just want to try to get an idea of the scope of what you're doing. It can be certainly a very enlightening and fulfilling journey. And I'm glad to see you on it, but it can also be somewhat stressful. And certainly being an entrepreneur can be somewhat stressful. We talked a little bit about the challenges of starting up a small business and all of those things. And you have to deal with the stress in some way, shape, or form. What is one or a couple of things you do to get away from the stress?
Yeah, so I've liked to work out since I was a kid in high school. So lifting weights several days a week is my stress relief. And then I really enjoy time with my family. I'm married with four kids, and so I love being involved in my kids' activities. So actually starting this coming week, I'll be managing a t-ball team for five-year-olds.
Oh my, you're looking forward to that? Or is that kind of a scary proposition in and of itself? I mean, you might have more stress from managing a t-ball team than running a virtual CISO firm.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. And, it's great bonding time for me and my son.
So your workout of choice is weights or aerobic or kind of a combination of both?
It would be weightlifting. I have a squat rack and a home gym, in my garage.
It's so funny, but there are a lot of folks, it seems like, in the InfoSec space that do that. I am last week, I had on a Friday special episode, I had Jason Martang on, and Jay and I, that's one of the things we talked a lot about with fitness, and same thing there. He's very much into it. I can't remember the, he talked about some sort of martial arts that he does, but I don't remember what it is. And I was talking about how I've got a Max Pro here in the office, which is basically a concentric type cable machine. And I have to echo what you said. It's just like, I think that anything physical fitness involved is hugely important for getting rid of stress, particularly because, also as you get older, it's like you've got to keep on doing stuff on a daily basis. And it's very tough to get into it, after you turn 40 and 50 and all of that. So Well, what are your future plans? Do you have a squat record that you're trying to get at, or?
No, I'm just trying to stay fit, you know, eat healthy. Be able to spend, you know, quality time with my kids and be able to run around with them.
What about for the business? Any future plans there or things that you want to talk about while we're here?
You know, our future plans are just to grow the business and be able to support SMBs on a national level. We want to serve American businesses and do that nationwide.
Well, I like the fact that you mentioned service, and certainly appreciate both of your guys' service. I'm former Air Force myself. Don't hold that against me. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But I'm going to leave. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to ask one more question before we leave for the day, because I meant to ask this prior, but I think it's an important question. I know you're active on LinkedIn, and you see a lot of discussions about people transitioning from the military into cyber and all of that. What is something, and I'll give you my answer too on this too, but what is something from your military experience that carries over to help you now in cybersecurity?
I would say technical documentation and understanding and following procedures, because you're working with computers, you're working with information systems, and, you know, being able to follow the procedure is how that computer is gonna, you know, be configured correctly. And I feel like that translates very, very easily over to cybersecurity.
I'm going to have to agree on that. And I've mentioned this before, but really my entrance into, we didn't call it cyber, we didn't call it information security, my entrance into IT at the time, which barely was IT, was in the networking side. And the person that I was interviewing for, this was for a part-time job while I was in college, he had been a drill instructor for the Marines. And now he was in charge of network repair. I believe it was the more on the analog side at that point in time when we used phone lines and all that. But basically, when he hired me, he said, I said I was surprised because I knew very little about computers. I programmed in Fortran 77, which is something you may not have heard of, but it was an engineering programming language back in the day. But that was about it. And I said, well, I mean, what was it? And he said, Greg, if you can use a TO, which is a technical order, basically a, you know, set of written instructions, if you can use a TO to fix C-130 aircraft, you can figure out this networking stuff. So spot on. I think you're completely right.
Oh, good.
Well, Bruno, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time. Fascinating story. What's the website where folks can get a hold of you in case they want to look into your services?
That would be albertokinney.com, and very active on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Everybody, stay secure.